Here we go. Messiah in the Old Testament, week 28 at the Continuity of Scripture class, and we're going to talk about the tabernacle. We're going to conclude with the tabernacle today. And I've got to tell you that this study has not been exhaustive. Not that any study is exhaustive. We're talking about the Word of God. We're not going to exhaust it this side of heaven. But if you're so inclined to do so, we have the JewishRootsOfChristianity.org website, and there are more detailed lessons, four of them, on the tabernacle. It's entitled Made According to Pattern, and it's under the Tuesday Women's Bible Study group under Messiah in the Old Testament. And the weeks are 6, 7, 8, and 9. If you're so inclined, you might look that up. There are handouts, and there's an audio recording as well.
Is it .org?
It's .org, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jill. Okay, so we're going to stick pretty closely to this week now, 28, because you've switched it, handout, because we've got a lot to go through, and Bobby copied an addendum, so to speak, for this handout. Oh boy. Oh yeah, it might be. A recurring theme in Scripture, as this handout states, the outset, is God's desire to dwell with man. And that is so crucial that we get hold of that. And that's part of the big picture of the Bible. It's so important to understand the big picture, to see God's unfolding of his revelation from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. And actually, God's desire to dwell in with man. Just turn in your Bible to Revelation 21, 1 through 4. We see God walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. And we also see, as you're turning to Revelation 21, we also see God wishing to meet with Moses on Mount Sinai. And then it makes all the sense, and I don't mean to bring it down to logic when it comes to God, but when Jesus is said to have dwelt with us, to have tabernacled with us, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, there's that continuing message of God dwelling with man. Okay, if you're in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4, say, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Glory, hallelujah, right? So we see this continuing. God the Son, Jesus, God the Son, the Messiah, is going to dwell with us during the thousand-year millennial kingdom. And as I said before, as we read, God the Father and the Lamb will dwell with the redeemed for all eternity. So we want to look at the tabernacle in the wilderness, and we want to acknowledge and realize that at this point, God is king. God is king over the nation of Israel. How do I know that? Because of 1 Samuel. Because when the people rejected God as their king, they said to Samuel, "Give us a king. Give us a king like the nations have a king." And that's not what God's plan was. God's plan was to keep the Jewish people separate and be the nation to be the witness for all the other nations in the world, okay? Because God has a heart for the nations. So God is king, children of Israel are his people, and he gave them the law at Mount Sinai. So what is a tabernacle? According to the dictionary, a tabernacle is a temporary dwelling place, and it comes from the Hebrew word mishkan. I just love that word, mishkan. The root shachan, which means to dwell. And why was the tabernacle built? So that God could dwell with them, so that the sacrificial system could be implemented, so that holy God could have a relationship with sinful man, or sinful man could approach a holy God. I think that's a better way of saying it. And it was built because God was going to legislate to the children of Israel from the Holy of Holies as he dwelt between the cherubim over the mercy seat. And the tabernacle was built to point them to the Messiah. So how was the tabernacle to be built? Love this. According to the pattern of things in the heavenlies. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. And I know you've read that before. Has it sunk in? This was revealed to Moses when he was on Mount Sinai. And you know what? It was later revealed when Jesus, the glorified Jesus, visited whom on the Isle of Patmos? The Apostle John. The Apostle John, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos because of his testimony. And the Apostle John was put in isolation. And who comes to visit him? The glorified Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's just like God. And when we think things are at the bottom, oh man, God lifts us up because he is lifted up. He is high and exalted. But in the book of Revelation, we see the altar of incense, and it's noted in your handout, a sea of glass, seven golden lampstands, the golden altar, which is the incense altar, and we see the Ark of the Covenant. So in the book of Revelation, what we're seeing is God's throne room. And we see the substance of what everything else on earth was. Everything else here was a shadow of the substance. Just like this tabernacle is a foreshadowing of Jesus, and it's a foreshadowing of what is to come in the future. So God's plan of redemption, it's eternal. It's rooted in eternity. Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And it marches on, and it is going to be completed as God's plan unfolds. And on your second page, Exodus 25:40 speaks of the tabernacle being made according to the pattern, God says to Moses, which was shown you on the mountain. And Hebrews 8:5 says, Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern God is speaking, shown you on the mountain. So guess who designed the tabernacle? God did. Mm-hmm. And actually the Holy Spirit empowered different craftsmen, different men, to construct the tabernacle. The Holy Spirit came upon them and empowered them to be able to put together the furnishings in the tabernacle and to construct the actual tabernacle. So, think of this. This is not in your handout, but I was thinking of this week. If you were approaching the tabernacle in the wilderness, what would you see? You weren't part of the 12 tribes. You're approaching the tabernacle in the wilderness. Remember, one of the reasons God chose the Jewish people was to be an instrument of blessing for the world. Here they are going through the wilderness. How many years? 40 years with this portable tabernacle. And they're parking it. God, you know, when the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire comes down, then that's where they are to set up. And there were people around them. What did they see, Richard?
Well, you see a wall 7.5 feet high, and it'd be a lot of patterns, I think purple and scarlet. But then you see that wall, so you wouldn't be able to look in unless you're taller than 7.5 feet.
But you know what? Okay, thank you. And that fence. That fence is around the courtroom, and there's some graphics in your handout that aren't the greatest, but you get a picture, and you can go to your computer and see better graphics. And now everybody's turning to those graphics. But Richard and everybody, you see that white? That white? There are no graphics?
We got it. Oh, I didn't get them.
Oh, yes, the other page.
That white fence, it's white linen fence, and the tents all around that courtyard, that tabernacle, were dark tents of 2+ million people.
Really?
Yeah, dark tents, because they were made of goat's hair. And goat's hair, that's a dark color. And then, but if you were tall enough, no, you didn't even have to be. You could be a midget. Guess what you would see coming from the tabernacle? You didn't get graphics. Okay. Somebody.
From last stage of today. You never got it.
The graphics are in the one that starts when August 11th.
Oh, the graph. Oh.
It's today's.
Okay, I am. All right, I hate this to be recorded. Let me just see something here. August 11th. It's week 27. Yeah, that's one. Just make sure it says week 27 and you're changing it to week 28. And it should, it says, you don't have that one?
We don't have it.
Okay, that's the one that we kept in the cabinet from last week. That was, huh?
Yes.
Okay, some of the people got them.
It says August the 11th.
Yeah, and you change it to August the 18th. All right, but, okay, for those who are listening, pardon our pause. So what you're seeing is, and you're not going to see it even on the graphics so much, you're going to see some other things. Passing papers out is always a joy.
Paper.
In a paperless society. You see the pillar of fire. You see the pillar of cloud. I mean, there were pagan temples that were constructed by the other people, okay, by a lot of the ites. But the big difference between the pagan temples and the temple or the tabernacle of Almighty God is what? God dwells there, okay? I got to be bigger than the paper, okay? Yeah. Because everybody is glued now to these papers. So maybe I won't have handouts.
Until after we leave.
Who has? Until after what?
When we're leaving.
Yeah, okay. That's a possibility. Okay, but can you imagine what a spectacle that was for people surrounding the tabernacle? And it went to very many places in those 40 years, or really it would have been, 40 years, suffice it to say. Amazing. So, but a supernatural deity, a supernatural occupant dwelled in the tabernacle, and that makes all the difference in the world. So go back to, we're still on page 2. And we're going to look at the tabernacle smack in the middle of the page. It says, tabernacle from God's perspective. Exodus 25, 8 to 10. Look at verse 10, because God says, again, you know, let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell with them and meet with them. Verse 10 says, and they shall make an ark. They shall make an ark. What I want to share with you is that God began in his inspiring Moses to write, God began where we as people would intend to end when we would look at the tabernacle. We're looking at the tabernacle, and that's on one of the graphics, and we would say, well, let's begin with the door. Let's begin with the gate that goes into this courtyard. And there's a brazen altar, and we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But God starts with the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because we need to focus on him. And that's where he dwells, between the cherubim, over the mercy seat, over the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? God presents the pattern from within first, because the Ark represents the very presence of God. And I don't know if I've said that in a sentence, but if you want to put it in your margin, the Ark represents God's presence. Write down Exodus 25, 22, and Numbers 10, 35, right? The Ark of the Covenant. What is the Ark of the Covenant? Say, this is amazing. The Ark of the Covenant gives every evidence of man's great sin. Because in that Ark of the Covenant, you've got the tablets, you've got the law.